Hi everyone, thank you for coming back. I am Walaa Moussa, PhD candidate in University of Guelph, Canada. And my talk today is actually a story. It's a story of an ancient African crop that hosts a beneficial microbe co-evolved to combat the fungus Fusarium graminearum. So if graminearum is the causal fungal pathogen of Gibberella earrot in corn, which results in over $400 million in losses annually across US and Ontario, Canada. It is also a toxigenic fungus that produces deoxynivalenol, commercially known as DON. It's a mycotoxin that is very famous to cause fatal toxicity in animals and humans. And most Fusarium species have been originated in Africa. The ancient African crop is finger millet. So the plant is called finger millet because the grains are produced on organs that look like fingers. And it's a very ancient plant. Millet was domesticated 7,000 years ago in Ethiopia, reaching India at 3000 BC. And shown are some pictures of ancient millet grains from Africa and India. According to subsistence farmers, finger millet is known to be highly resistant to many pathogens, including Fusarium. And the beneficial microbe in my story is an endophyte isolated from finger millet, and I called it strain M6. But more generally, endophytes are microbes that live inside the plant without causing disease. And they can help their host to fight pathogens either through production of antimicrobial compounds or competition on nutrient or spaces, or induction of systemic resistance in the host so the plant itself can produce antifungal compound to fight the pathogen. So we hypothesize that finger millet may host beneficial microbes that combat pathogens, and in particular F. graminearum, due to co-evolutionary selection in Africa. So the outline of research conducted in M6, first isolation and in vitro antifungal screen. So M6 was isolated from surface sterilized roots of finger millet, followed a standard protocol in isolation of endophytes. Then it was assessed for antifungal activity using the standard agar diffusion method, in which we scored for diameter of inhibition zone. So diameter of inhibition zone for M6 in this figure is shown in the green bars. So M6 inhibited the growth of 7 pathogens out of 20 fungal pathogens tested. Interestingly, 3 of these pathogens are Fusarium species. And whole genome sequencing identified the microbe M6 as a novel Enterobacter species. And the picture here showing the microscopy of M6. Next, to understand more the in vitro interaction between M6 and F. graminearum, so both the endophyte and the pathogens were incubated overnight on a microscope slide. Next day, the fungus was stained with Evans blue. Evans blue is a vitality stain that only stains dead fungi blue. So as you see here in the picture, F. graminearum hyphae distant from M6 is transparent and intact. So this means it's alive. But F. graminearum hyphae adjacent to M6 stained blue means it's dead and look disintegrated. So we conclude from this that M6 may have a fungicidal activity. Next, to move forward to implant activity against F. graminearum. So corn was a candidate model to study M6-F. graminearum interaction because corn is susceptible to F. graminearum, but millet is resistant. And also because corn is a relative of millet. But before moving forward to greenhouse and field experiment, we would like to be sure that M6 can colonize corn because it was originally isolated from different crops. So we want to be sure that M6 can colonize corn and behaves as endophyte in corn. So for that, I transformed M6 with green fluorescent protein, so the microbe can give green fluorescent under confocal microscopy. Then I used the microbe to coat corn seeds, and 10 days later, Corn was examined by scanning confocal microscopy. And as this picture shows, we found that M6 can efficiently colonize both corn shoot and corn root. So M6 is shown in the green color, and the red color is autofluorescence of the plant. So we conclude from that M6 behaves as an endophyte in corn. So moving forward to the greenhouse trial, so I applied M6 first as seed coat, then next time in the greenhouse as foliar spray, simultaneously with F. graminearum. And I have at the same time two controls group. So one sprayed with the fungicide as a control, the other group just received Fusarium graminearum. And at full maturity, I screened for the percent of infection, which I defined as distance of diseased area relative to the total length of the air. So the results showed that M6 caused 60 to 90% reduction in disease severity in two greenhouse trials. And it also resulted in 97% reduction in dawn after storage. So now we have a promising biological control agent. And we are currently doing the field trials to commercialize M6. But because part of my PhD thesis, the major part was to study the mechanism of action, I'm now moving forward to discovery of genes and metabolites encode the antifungal activity in the endophyte. And to discover the genes, I used TN5 transposon, which creates random mutant all over the genome. Then I screened each mutant for loss of inhibition zone in vitro, and then positive candidates were validated in the greenhouse for loss of in-planta activity as well. Then I rescued the gene of interest, blasted against M6 genome, then studied gene expression by real-time BCR. So from 4,800 mutants screened, 13 candidate antifungal genes were identified. So mutant screen reveals the antifungal genes that promote swarming, attachment, and biofilm formation on Fusarium hyphae. So biofilm is a self-produced matrix formed when bacteria adhere to a surface and aggregate to form a community. And actually, we conclude that biofilm is a very important part of the antifungal activity because most of the mutant compared to the wild type have lost the ability to swarm towards the fungi and to form a biofilm. But actually, for simplicity, I'm just showing you the interaction with the wild type. So shown in green color is the endophyte, M6, and in blue color is the pathogen, Fusarium graminearum, stained with scalp floor, which gives blue color under the confocal microscopy. And the biofilm, if you can see it, it's red color, but actually the light should be. I promise you there is red color in the second picture. So the interaction will be like this. So the wild type swarms towards the pathogen and attached to the pathogen hyphae in a very specific recognition. And this swarming and movement towards the fungi is aided by the flagella, because also most of the mutant lost the flagella. Then the wild type will form a strong biofilm around the fungus. This biofilm will be followed by induction of breakage and the death of the pathogen. But the question now, does M6 encode for antifungal metabolites? So yes, the mutant screen identified operons that encode for biosynthesis and or export of the antifungal compound phenazine. So biosynthesis of phenazine started from chlorosmic acids and many steps till we reach the very specific step in the pathway, which is dimerization of two molecules of dihydroxyanthranilic acid to form phenazine 1 carboxylic acid, the first member in phenazine, which is then undergo many derivatization and decoration steps to give many phenazine relatives. So I have three mutants in the pathway, and by real-time VCR, I showed that most of these genes are induced by the pathogen. So shown in the green bars are the gene expression when Fusarium graminearum was added to the growth media of M6. So actually I show here that the genes Especially the early genes in the pathway are induced by Fusarium graminearum, so they are very specific to this pathogen. And by using chromatography and mass spec techniques, I have identified three phenazine molecules, and these molecules are reported here for the first time from an Enterobacter species. Mutant screen revealed also a gene encoding fusaric acid resistant protein, and that was one of the most interesting genes in my study. So fusaric acid is a mycotoxin produced by the pathogen to interfere with biosynthesis and the export of phenazine, in addition to other vital metabolic pathways. So here I tried to make a diagram for the interaction as revealed by the mutant screen. So the plant cell in green has the microbe inside in blue. And then the plant cell is exposed to infection by F. graminearum. So what will happen is that M6 will produce phenazines, as we just saw in the previous slide. But F. graminearum will produce fusaric acid that will specifically interfere with phenazines. So phenazines are not only antifungal compound, but also they are important for some redox reaction in the cell. So when the fungi produce fusaric acid, it interferes with the vitality of the microbe. But lucky enough for M6, it has a very specific membrane efflux bump that will efflux fusaric acid away. So it can survive. And real-time PCR again showed induction by the presence of Fusarium graminearum. And this mutant failed to grow in agar containing fusaric acid in contrast to the wild type. So this is just a biochemical validation of the mutant. The mutant screen also revealed gene encodes for 2,3-butanediol. And butanediol, as all of you know, is a hormone that induces plant resistance. So again, the interaction. At the time of infection, M6 will produce 2,3-butanediol. That will go to plant cell to induce resistance, so the plant itself can produce the antifungal compound to fight the pathogen. And I showed here that all the operons responsible for biosynthesis of butanediol are induced by Fusarium graminearum. And then a summary of the endophyte host pathogen interaction. So upon infection with F. graminearum, phenazines will produce. Fusaric acid will produce from the fungus to counteract phenazine. M6 will bump fusaric acid away. It also will produce butanediol to stimulate host resistance. So these results suggest three-way species coevolution between the plant finger millet, its bacterial endophyte, and the ancient fungal pathogen F. graminearum. And here I focused mainly on the genes that contribute to this three-way coevolution. However, M6 mutant screen revealed that the antifungal mechanism of action is much more complex. It involves quorum sensing, transcription factors, regulatory enzymes. So I have discovered two transcription factors important for the antifungal activity, RST and LysR, which also affect under the control of tRNA synthesis gene. All the mutants that have disruption in RST or the regulatory enzyme leading to RST are inhibited in swarming, motility, and biofilm, while mutants in the other pathway are inhibited in biosynthesis of butanediol and other antifungal metabolites. So the antifungal metabolites that I revealed by this screen are not only phenazine, there are also chitinases, colistine, imidazole antifungal compounds. I just show phenazines for simplicity. And F. graminearum produced fusaric acid to combat phenazine production, but the microbe bumped fusaric acid out. And I have my genes are mainly in the membrane in permeases protein and bump. And also I have some mutants in transcription factor and regulatory enzymes, and some specific mutants in some biosynthetic pathways. And to conclude, I have started with an ancient plant grown by poor subsistence farmers, and it is known as resistant to many pathogens. From this plant, I isolated a beneficial endophyte, and I showed that M6 or this endophyte can colonize other modern crops exemplified by maize. And this endophyte combats an ancient pathogen, both in vitro and in planta, and using a combination of molecular and biochemical assays, I have postulated three-way coevolution between the plant, the fungi, and the endophyte. And it is hoped that this result will help modern farmers. And finally, all the result insects, discovery, and origin and metabolites are protected under a US patent which just approved a few days ago. So I can move forward in the publication process. And finally, I would like to acknowledge all members in Razada Lab, my PhD advisor, Dr. Manish Razada, and specifically Charles Schurer. He was an undergrad, helped me in the greenhouse trials. And Dr. Johnson, I thank Cassandra Ettinger for doing whole genome sequencing. And Dr. Art, Dr. Limi for providing material for this experiment. And finally, the funding. And thank you. So I first started with the mutant screen, and I used the sequence of the mutated gene to blast against the gene bank to know what the gene encodes for. But actually, this process wasn't successful enough because I have different genes from the gene bank. It wasn't really make sense. So we decided at this point to do whole genome sequencing and to blast the sequence of the mutated sequence against the whole genome sequencing. So yeah, I used a combination of the whole genome and the mutant screen to specifically identify the gene in this Enterobacter. Because as I said before, it was a novel Enterobacter species. We couldn't match the genome of this microbe to any genome in the gene bank. So it does make sense to screen the mutant against the specific genome. Yeah. And I also did some bioinformatic-based mining in the genome to see if there's other biosynthetic pathways that we didn't hit by the mutations, and we did discover some, yeah. But we are like redundant. So you know, I have some pathway encoding for imidazole antifungal compounds, but there are like two pathways. So if you mutate one, the other will compensate this one. So that's why it was very important to have the mutant screen and the whole genome sequence overlapping with each other. Yeah. Is this answering your question? Thank you. Yeah.
That's very exciting work.
Thank you.
Do you have any results in, say, wheat or barley or
the cup? Yeah. Actually, I screened M6 to suppress Fusarium head blight in wheat, but I didn't choose this result for simplicity. But actually, M6 could efficiently suppress Fusarium graminearum in wheat, but it was much lower than M6. So the percent of disease reduction in wheat was like 50% comparing to the 90% I got with corn.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.